News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. All of our stuff, by the way, is on rightsideradio.org. If you like that Copper's Corner, if you want to hear the Grand Council that we're going to do a little while again at the time, you want to hear my monologue, if you want to hear interviews, all of it is podcasted. Every single day, Copper takes the show, segments it out, and puts it into a format that then Birdman grabs and uploads it into every form of podcasting known to man, really. But it's all on our website, rightsideradio.org. So all that is there, plus more, and we encourage you to check it out. Listen, in terms of checking things out, too, when I resource a show, you hear me rattle the paper, man. I've got all my stuff, and sometimes I can't even get to all of it. I've got so much stuff. I spend a good deal of time every day getting ready for this show. Part of that is resourcing through news sites. And, you know, and I go to all of them. Like, I've got a story I'm about to do here from Axios. So Axios, yes, I am going. I went to Axios. But when I want to know something that's happening in my state and I want to know that it's something that I can rely on, one of the ones that I go to a lot now is 1819news.com. If you haven't checked them out, I encourage you to do so. That's 1819news.com. It's 1819. That's named for the year that Alabama became a state, because the folks that run 1819, they love this state like I do. And 1819news.com is one of those sources you can go to where the news is the news and the editorial content is separate. And they have great editorial writing, but they have great news, which just calls the balls and strikes. They got a whole slew of reporters on staff. I mean, they came in, they went out, and they raised their money independently so they couldn't be bought by advertisers, and they went at it. And they have been literally making a dent in the news cycles here in the state. They're the ones that broke the story this week about Governor Ivey saying that her biggest regret is not passing gambling. What? Well, that's an 1819 news story. So yeah, check them out, 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. Friends of mine run that place, and they are tearing it up. All right, number two on the Triple Dipper, the big tech freakout, I'm calling this. So yeah, Elon Musk has rattled the cages of everybody over at Twitter. I mean, like, not a little bit. Like, big tech in general is freaking out because if it can happen to Twitter, it can happen to us. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to Facebook. It could happen, what do they call it now? Meta. It could happen to Meta. What a stupid name. Anyway, it can happen to, name one, Instagram, TikTok. What do we do? Okay. Story off of Axios is that, you know, if you heard, I said it a couple of days ago, Elon Musk came out of nowhere and suddenly scarfed up 9.2% of Twitter stock. That made him the biggest single shareholder of the entire company. Woo! Boy, that got people's attention. He's going a step further now. He made what he calls his best and final offer to buy the entire thing for $43 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars. $43 billion. Elon Musk offered to buy Twitter for $54.20 a share. Now, here's the interesting thing. The board of directors has a fiduciary duty to their shareholders. I don't know how their bylaws are set up. I've not seen them. I'm not privy to it. I don't know what the laws are under the state in which they incorporated. It could be Delaware. It could be anywhere. I don't know what. So the bottom line is this. I don't know how far that duty extends, but I do know this. It will be very likely that there are a lot of people who will get rich if they will allow the sale to take place, because he's buying it at a premium. He's buying it in such a way that, I mean, he drove the stock up. When he bought 9.2%, literally the stock went up exponentially overnight. The value gained. And then he came in and he's willing now to buy it for $54 a share. I mean, it's like a 38% premium, I believe. But anyway, the bottom line is there are people that could get very rich if the deal's allowed to go through. And Twitter board of directors has a fiduciary obligation to not do something that will hurt the shareholders. So they have to decide, is it in the best interest of the company and the shareholders? What do we do? Never mind how they feel about things in their snowflake world. The question they have to look at now, what's really interesting, is all these socialists at Twitter have got no choice but by law to review this from a capitalist perspective. Because regardless of what the ESG rating is for Twitter, regardless of whether they've been socially conscious, regardless of whether or not they stood for the progressive liberals everywhere. It doesn't matter. The law says they have a fiduciary obligation to their shareholders. And they now have somebody who has said that he has the resources and would like to buy all of it and make it a privately held corporation. And once it's privately held, he can do all kinds of stuff. And so now they're in a quandary. Do we lose what we consider to be our soul to abide by the law? What will they do? What will they do? Well, I think it's going to be interesting to watch. Musk, in the court of the article here in Axios, he does not disclose how he plans to pay for it. One possibility is that he has investment partners, although he does not say that in his letter. And Twitter confirmed, by the way, this is real. Twitter confirmed they did receive the unsolicited offer from Musk saying that its board of directors would carefully review the proposal to determine the course of action that it believes is in the best interest of the company and all of the stockholders. There's my point right there. All right, so listen. We're going to come back here in a minute and spend some time breaking down this big tech freakout. But part of that concerns, okay, what about censorship? Why are we so concerned about Twitter? Aren't they a private company? I mean, they own the platform, right? I mean, they can do what they want to, right? That's their argument. What about the other argument? Is it censorship? Is it censorship when you want to put your stuff on somebody's platform and they cut you off at the knees? Is it? I don't know. You know what's interesting? One of our most conservative Supreme Court justices believes that it is. We'll talk about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, this morning I was with the folks at ZLA Solutions, and they are kicking it, let me just tell you. All over the place, they are just wearing it out when it comes to putting people back to work, with helping refine business solutions, with putting things into a place where it becomes more profitable for the business owner. I mean, at ZLA, they like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it, we make it better. That's what their goal in life to do is to make your business better for you. And so one of the bread and butter things that they do is find you the people you need for your workforce. If you need to fill out your ranks at your job site, yes, they can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, all of it. And they're good at it. So yeah, go check them out. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com, ZLA Solutions. Friends of mine, and yes, they are good at what they do. Hey, I gotta tell you, so I'm doing number two on the Triple Dipper right now, which I'm calling the Big Tech Freakout. I just happened to glance over at social media here in the studio, and I was looking. And what's funny to me earlier, I said, was what's funny is that Twitter is trending on Twitter about Twitter trending because of Elon Musk offering to buy Twitter. I mean, it's this endless loop. It's like looking in a mirror, as Twitter is trending on itself. All right, so what's funny is this. There's one. I don't know what do you call it. There's one site on Twitter that I follow called Disclose TV. That's Disclose, D-I-S-C-L-O-S-E TV. And so I just saw a moment ago that they just posted, like it just broke a little while ago. It says, just in, Twitter will reportedly hold an all-hands meeting with employees at 2 p.m. over Elon Musk's offer to take over the platform. This is not a parody site. This is a site that tends to grab hold of news stories that don't often get reported and make sure they get reported. So Disclose TV is reporting that the Twitter staff has been called to an all-hands meeting at 2 p.m. today about Elon Musk offered to take over the platform. And the responses to this tweet are epic. I mean, first of all, if you're on Twitter, you got to go check it out at Disclose TV and look at some of the follow-ups. First of all, like one person named Amber Smith says, all those employees who are fine with censoring Americans and publications that tell the truth around election time but are fine with the Taliban, the CCP, Ayatollah Khomeini, etc. having accounts are now absolutely terrified that a billionaire that believes in free speech is taking over. They've got pictures of liberals that, like on TikTok, having their meltdowns. That's pretty funny. They've got one. Twitter board of directors, yes, calling a meeting to discuss Elon Musk. There's another site reporting it. Another one says they're screwed either way now. They either accept and lose their jobs or reject and get sued by the shareholders. They have to pay a bunch of money, and then they lose their jobs too. See, there's my point again. That's great. Somebody else says, I bet the unisex bathroom over there is getting plenty of use today. That's almost as funny as the camel copper. That's just cracks me up. All right, so... another one says, like what I said, in a more serious tone, the employees have nothing to do with this. The board has a fiduciary duty to the shareholders. I see a massive lawsuit on its way if they do something dumb. See, I agree. The shareholders are like, we can get rich. You can't stand in the way of that. Another one says, a bunch of leftists in a room freaking out over the possibility of losing their ability to censor people that don't agree with them on the internet. So it's just, it goes on and on. And there was one that was super funny that I just retweeted that just has a montage of liberals having meltdowns and calls it a quick preview of the meeting. So anyway, check it out. It's on social media. But that's what I'm talking about right now. I called this section the Big Tech Freakout. And what's funny is a while ago when I was just double-checking the headlines to make sure there was nothing out there breaking that I needed to make sure I covered on the show, I saw a headline on the Bongino Report that called things the Big Tech Freakout. Sometimes I feel like they're watching my show or listening to my show. You can't watch radio. You listen to radio, Phil. But let me ask you this. Have you considered the question of why this matters? I mean, why'd this start? Is Elon Musk looking at it purely from a business standpoint, like it's a profitable venture for him? Maybe. That's part of it. I'm sure it's part of it. He's not gotten rich by choosing not to get rich, right? But the other piece of this is the argument that what Twitter has been doing over and over and over again is unconstitutional, that it violates the precepts, the actual rights to freedom of speech. Well, okay, the converse of that, the argument against that is no. They own the platform. You know, the laws allow them to moderate content. All they're doing is moderating content. Well, the Ayatollah Khomeini is there. You know, the Communist Party of Russia or China is there. You can read any number of things that are offensive there, and yet the former president of the United States, who was just mean to liberals once in a while, had his account just done away with. Well, the hypocrisy is amazing, but is it unconstitutional? National Review did a story, came out 2 days ago. They title it, Is Big Tech Censorship Unconstitutional? And they cite a Heritage Foundation piece that talks about holding big tech accountable, saying that it's time for aggressive reforms to ensure big tech is held accountable. And as big tech's influence over everyday American life continues to grow, often hand in glove with the government, we cannot let these companies reshape our society. But then there are others who begin to push back on that right away. Things like, you know, saying that this is not just a public entity. But yeah, here's the deal. I've said it before on this show. Twitter and Facebook are now akin to what the law often calls common carriers. They're what some would refer to as the new version of the public square. They have so monopolized civil discourse, or sometimes uncivil discourse. They have so monopolized the ability to have electronic discourse, if you will, that they have become the new public square. Rather than going and standing on the steps of the courthouse and calling to the public, Twitter has put itself in that position. They are in essence, considered by some great minds, to be the new digital public square. It's worth debating, they point out here at National Review, it's worth debating. There's a viable conservative argument for both sides of this, but what's interesting is Clarence Thomas, who I deeply respect as a conservative, who this article points out has credentials that are second to none, suggested last April in a case called Biden versus the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, he says this, But in many ways, digital platforms that hold themselves out to the public resemble traditional common carriers. And though digital instead of physical, they are at bottom communications networks, and they carry information from one user to another. Now, here's the thing. The article goes on to say that if tech platforms are indeed common carriers, like Clarence Thomas suggests that they are, then there's ample precedent in that case for, in the American legal tradition, for treating their censorship as a violation of constitutional rights. They have that Section 230 protection. If you recall, I talked about it a long time ago on the show, but basically what it says is they are allowed to moderate their content. But then they are also the arbiters of what's considered objectionable, and that's where it gets dicey. So the argument is not, is this nice? Is it okay? Does it make sense? No, the argument is it unconstitutional? And in order to find that point, you have to first be able to decide, are they the new public square? You and I can debate about that all day long. Eventually, what's going to wind up happening is the Supreme Court of the United States is probably going to have to decide. But see, other people have also found the value in recognizing how to moderate content, if you will, not the least of which is China and Russia. Here's a story from the AP, dated 13 days ago. AP reports that China's TikTok and Facebook influencers are pushing propaganda. Well, you think? Yes. But China, like for instance, they've got one Instagram influencer. She's on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. Her name is Vika Lee. Lee spelled L-I. Lee says that she is a life blogger and a food lover who has 1.4 million fans. Well, but when you look at it, you realize that it appears that her accounts are being run by the Chinese government. Says in the article here on the AP, as China continues to assert its economic might, it is using the global social media ecosystem to expand its already formidable influence. The country has quietly built a network of social media personalities who parrot the government's perspective in posts seen by hundreds of thousands of people, operating in virtual lockstep as they promote China's virtues, deflect international criticism to its human rights abuses, and advance Beijing's talking points on world affairs. So you see, when you look at what we're talking about, when you talk about things like what did Twitter and Facebook do in the last election cycle, understand this is what communist China does regularly. They grab hold of the information sources. They bend them to what they want them to be, knowing full well that they can then begin to influence society. And it's exactly what has been happening at Twitter for quite a while. Well, Russia is doing the same. In fact, the interesting thing here, where's that article? Yeah, an article off of Barron's. Barron's.com. Russian censorship isn't technical, it's physical too. Russia is cracking down right now because of the situation in Ukraine. Starts off with this article dated yesterday. Amid the Russian government's illegal war in Ukraine and the unprecedented big tech action against Russia, Vladimir Putin's government is cracking down on the internet more than ever before. Whereas China is promoting its side of a story and propagandizing in a big way, Russia is literally seeking to, quote-unquote, moderate content. Sound familiar? When you have the Russians and the Chinese doing this, and you begin to understand that Twitter may in fact be viewed, legally speaking, as a new public square, then you begin to realize what you've got here is a situation where if you own the information, you can bend it all you want. Well, I got a little more on this. I'm going to jump back onto the funny stuff happening over at Twitter. Oh my gosh, but let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back from this break, wrap up this segment on the big tech freakout, and then top of the hour, one of my favorite times every single week, the Grand Council with my friends Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Stay tuned, we got plenty more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Oh yeah, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. So, yeah, we're going to be having a great time here in a few minutes with my friends Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson as we do the Grand Council. But let me finish up a few more things here on the Big Tech Freakout, number two in my triple dipper. So, a story off the New York Post, dated yesterday, going back to this Elon Musk trying to buy out Twitter. By the way, I wish we had a live feed in the room for that particular meeting that they're about to have. That I think that it would be something that most of the world would enjoy. Yes, a copper, I agree. Big smiley face, I do agree. So yeah, story off the off New York Post, dated April 12th, so 2 days ago. This is before the offer to buy out the whole company. Right now he's offering to buy everything. Lock, stock, and barrel. I'll own it. Well, if you remember, by the way, if you hadn't heard it, I'll say it again. He originally was offered a seat on the board. He rejected it. He rejected it in large part, it's believed, because the board was asking him to take a seat on the board in return for agreeing not to speak out negatively about the company nor to buy more of the stock. He said no, which tells you everything. But what's really interesting here is, as you read the employees are having meltdowns. And I would hope it's not all of them, but I do believe that Twitter builds a snowflake mentality in their employees. The things you hear about it, it's all of the usual stuff that you see, parodied in movies and TV shows about the new liberal work environment, the progressive opportunities for, nap spaces and safe spaces and unisex bathrooms and whatever else. Well, it says here in the story on New York Post dated yesterday or 2 days ago that Musk's surprise rejection of a Twitter board seat emerged ahead of a scheduled day of rest for the company employees. Twitter CEO Parag Agrawal broke the news on his account the previous night, describing Musk's decision as for the best, even as he warned his workers they would face distractions ahead. The uncertainty, it says, left Twitter workers feeling super stressed about the future, with employees reportedly working together to help each other get through the week. Well, I see you laughing, Copper. What's the deal? What are you thinking?
Just come on, people. Grow up.
I mean, you look at it and just, do I feel sorry for them? Or no, they are creatures of their own environment. They chose to be like this. They chose to be beta personalities. They just chose to. Wow. Okay, so another story. Well, let me grab another one, just like that. Hang on, here's another one. This one came from the Post-Millennial. Post-Millennial, dated 3 days ago. Said similar. It said the employees have the day off Monday for a regular monthly day of rest. In other words, they get a long weekend once a month. Okay, I guess that's kind of cool. But anyway, the monthly day of rest. And it says the break is well-timed, as several people describe the vibe as super stressed. There's that quote again, employees working together to help each other get through the week. The sentiment comes from employees, and it can be summarized by tweets like this one from a current Google employee who used to work at Twitter that says that so much of the discourse on Twitter lately has been about Twitter that I'm beginning to think the wrong company renamed themselves Meta. Or maybe it should have been Beta. That's what it is. Twitter, we got Facebook is Meta, but Twitter is all Beta. That's what I'm saying. All right. Running this thing down here. What else have I got? Just so you know, as New York Post in a separate article dated April 11th, it does say, by the way, and I thought this is kind of epic, it said it talks about the Elon Musk offer to buy. And it says this now goes from a Cinderella story with Musk joining the Twitter board and keeping a stake under 14.9% to a likely Game of Thrones battle between Musk and Twitter, with a high likelihood that Elon takes a more hostile stance. And yes, 2 days later, he made the offer to buy out completely. Don't tell me he didn't already have that in his back pocket when he started this process. But just so you know, the conservative alternatives, while they've not always been able to get their feet under them, like Parler is pretty much gone. Gitter, I can't quite get Gitter to work the way I want it to. Me personally, I'm on Gitter, but I'm not really using it much. But then on top of that, though, there are others that are actually getting it done. and Rumble. Rumble has come out strong. In the first quarter of 2022, Rumble, which is a Canadian video sharing platform that is designed to counter YouTube, Rumble recorded a 22% increase in monthly active users compared to the last quarter of last year. They are literally making it big time. Well, Copper, I tell you what, tell my caller we're going to have to get back to him another time because we're about to jump to a break and go straight then to the Grand Council. But if he wants to call in around 4:30, we can get him then, all right? All right, folks, listen, that's it. Number two on the Triple Dipper, the Big Tech Freakout. All right, coming up next, the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor from down south and our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, where we opine and question each other and see how we do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.